never
mentioned him to me. And I know that, well, I hope that that will not be said about any of us. We need to mention the Lord to a whole lot of people that they may understand the Word of God, that they may understand that it is the seed, according to Luke 8:11, that it is a lamp and a light, according to Psalm 119:105, that they may understand that it is a fire, Jeremiah 23:29 and 20:9. It is our sword, and we need to learn how to use it, according to Ephesians 6:9. It is from God and God alone, according to 2 Peter 1:20-21, Galatians 1:11-18, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. It is powerful, according to Hebrews 12, Romans 10:15-17, John 20:30-31. That the Word of God is complete, according to 2 Peter 1:3, James 1:25, 2 Timothy 3:16-17. It is indestructible, according to Matthew 25:35, 1 Peter 1:25, and it is the basis of judgment, according to John 12:48, Romans 2:16, and Revelation 20:11. And we all need to know what our responsibility is concerning the Word. And we need to figure out in our own minds, and we need to demonstrate it unto people so that we don't have to worry about them standing before the judgment throne and saying, "You never mentioned him to me." We need to plant, we need to water, and we need to allow God to give the increase. Because the Word is very important. And each one of us need to understand and figure out the Word that is within us. The Word that is within us. And I see that that says, and the Word that is in, that is within me. We need to make this personal. If I stand before you Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and I can pick any character out of the Bible and preach to you about that character and never make application. You say, "Oh, that was a good story about Job. I don't understand, but it was a good story. Elijah was a great prophet. He did many wonderful things." You know, Elijah prayed that it would not rain, and then again he prayed that it would rain. Elijah was a faithful man. But what about you and what about me? Are we doing the things in which God would have us to do, or are we the people that God would have us to be? I know that there are some things in the Bible that we can, you know, remember right away, and there are some other things where we have to go get the Bible and we have to search and search, and sometimes we never find it. But when we find that something that we're looking for, what do we do with it? The Word that is within you. The things in which you were taught from a child, what do you do with those things? We find many have rejected the Word of God. The Word that saves us. Many people have rejected that Word. In Jeremiah 20:9, and none of us like rejection. We invite people to come to worship service. And, you know, it was good standing in the back this morning, and a young lady, and I don't see her right now, but that's okay. We have her address, and I told her, my wife and I are going to come by. We're going to knock on her door this week because she said she couldn't remember her phone number. I said, that's all right. You got your address. She should have been like, I know what it is, but she just don't know. We're knocking on that door tomorrow. But someone said, you know, you don't have to wait until next week to come back. I can't remember who that person was, but they said, we have evening service that started at 5. Letting them know that we care about them. But we have those that reject the word. And this is what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 20 verse 9, because a lot of times this is our attitude as well. That if they continue to reject, I don't want to teach them the word of God anymore. I don't want to have anything to do with them. But if you are truly a Christian, if you are truly living faithful the way God would have you to live, you will have the attitude that Jeremiah had. He said, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. I couldn't help myself but to tell somebody that Jesus Christ came to this earth and that He died for the sins of the world, and they too can become members of the Lord's church. We go up and down the streets on a daily basis and we see souls that are lost. What do we do? Do we stop to take time to tell them about God? Do we stop to take time and tell them that we're interested in their soul salvation? I got one young man who walks by the house, I'm going to say every day, 2 or 3 times some days. And I holler at him when he walked by, and I say, hey, how you doing? And then we go out there and I talk for a minute with him. I say, what did you say your name was again? And he tell me what his name is again. He never asked me my name. But I want to get his name just right. Because when he stands before the judgment throne, he say, no one ever mentioned you to me. I'll be there saying, you're lying, Orby. I did mention him to you, but you didn't want to do the things that are right. Arby says, and I'm telling you his name, if you run up against him, you say, I heard about you, Arby. Why are you coming to worship over there in the corner of 44th and Broadway? Arby says, I'm coming. I didn't come last week because it was raining. You know what? I was sitting on the porch and he was on the sidewalk. You know what I hollered out to him? I said, it won't be water next time, but fire. He already may not understand what I'm talking about. But it's going to be our responsibility to tell him. We cannot allow the word of God to be shut up in our bones. We have to tell people how important they are to us and how important they are to God. So, but there have been many that have rejected the word, but we still need to teach it to them. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Oh, I know some of y'all are hot, and I'm not going to keep you long, but I want to keep you long enough to let you know about the Word of God that is within me. In Romans chapter 1, we're going to start with verse 15, actually, and we're going to read verse 16 as well. You know, this is one of my favorite scriptures here, one of them. And I hear people saying that all the time. That's my favorite scripture in the Bible. Then they say, well, there are some other ones as well. This is just one of my favorites. It says here in Romans chapter 1, verse 15, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Paul says, so much as in me is. The power that I have, the strength that I have, the ability that I have, I'm ready to preach the gospel. Why? He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. See, one should not be ashamed of the word. We have many Christians today that are ashamed of the word. They're ashamed to let people know who they are and who they're living for. Well, if you are ashamed, I know who you are. And if you're ashamed of the word, I know who you're living for. It's not God. Well, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Are you ashamed today? The word of God, do you allow it to flow out of your mouth on your job? When you're riding down the road, do you take the time to pray to God? Do you take the time to sing hymns unto Him to let Him know how much you really appreciate what He's done for you? You know, He's brought some of us from a very long way, and He's not finished with us yet. So we have to allow the Word of God to do what it is meant to do, and that is to save us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, see, when we read the Bible, we need to understand what the Bible says. When we tell others about the gospel, the good news of the gospel, because we believe it to be true, we should tell others about the Word, right? We should tell them about the things in which God has done in His Word, just like we tell them about football games, about basketball games, about hockey games, about tennis games, or even, you know, I really don't know if it's called a game or not. I guess it is, a game of golf. But as we tell people about those things, we need to tell them about the Word of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, we have in the same spirit now of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore do what? Speak. You believe in God's Word, you need to speak God's Word. You trust in God's Word, you need to share God's Word. You believe it to be true, you need to tell somebody about the truth in order for them to understand what they need to do. Yes? You know, it seems as though every Sunday is it is a new day. But it seems like we're in the same place. But you know what happens to me almost every Sunday I'm here? I see new faces. And you know what goes through my mind? That's another name I need to learn. And as I learn that name, the next Sunday, guess what happens? A new face comes in. New to me, old to you, but a new face comes in. And as we see those faces come in, new to me, old to you, we need to continue to encourage them to do what is right. That they may get their lives in order so that they may be pleasing to God, so that they may go out and share God's Word with somebody else. For it's hard to share God's Word with someone when you are not living it. When you're not doing what God wants you to do, when you're not the people that God called us to be. So we have to do what is right. So we need to study, don't we? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. We're not studying to prove anything to man. You know, it hasn't happened yet, but I want you to know that when it does happen, all of you out there in radio land that listens, you'll know that it has happened. When I get that phone call and Jay's sitting on the other side of that glass, he do like this right here, and I say, go ahead, call in your More Bible Talk, and they give me a question that I have no idea what the answer's to. You think I'm going to try to my way to fumble my way through that question? The answer is no. You know why? Because of this very scripture right here. Some things I will not be able to answer. Brother Brian, maybe I'll call you up and let you answer the question. I don't know. But some things I just won't be able to answer. Speak that forth, brother.
If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do as of the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Okay, now I want to look at that first part for a moment. If any man speak, let him do what?
Speak as the oracles or utterances of God.
All right, as God has written, the things in which you have studied. That's the only thing I can speak to you. I can't speak anything else. But look at the second part. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. I'm never, ever going to know everything in God's Word. But it's not going to stop me from learning. It's not going to stop me from studying. But it's going to stop me from trying to tell you something that I don't know. My best answer to those that will call in with a question I don't have the answer is, you're going to find that answer quicker than I will. Because you're probably looking at your internet service just like I'm trying to look at mine in a moment. So when you find that answer, If it has book, chapter, and verse to it, call me back and give me the answer so we can have some more Bible talk. But look what the end of that says. It says, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. All the praise, all the glory is going to God. It's not how much I know. It's not how much you know. But it's what thus saith the Lord. The word that is within me. Why do we study? Why do we share God's word? Why do we do the things that God would have us to do? Because we want to be the people that God has called us to be. We want to live faithful. We want to do the things that's right. We should abide in the word always. We should never say, I am tired of serving God. You know, we got some people that when they retire from their secular job, they retire from working for the Lord. Oh, all I'm going to do now is travel. Don't have to worry about anything. I'm going to leave my Bible at home. No. You take the word of God with you wherever you go. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says what? Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But the last part is what we concentrate on. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. See, we all want something from this life, don't we? Those of you that have retired from your jobs, you retired because you wanted something. You wanted to work on that job till you was able to retire. But if you want to retire from working for the Lord, you're going to keep working for Him until you die. And this may be a long time for some of us. And however long it may be thou faithful unto death. And He says, I will give thee a crown of life. What about the book of Ephesians chapter 5 verse 20? Talking about this word that is within us. What are we going to do with it? Ephesians chapter 5. The verse is 20. They've given thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. In who? In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always. Because of what He has done for us. No matter what we go through in this life, we need to give God thanks. In Bible class this morning, we was talking about individuals stomping their toes or banging their fingers or whatever. And two individuals may mention that when that happens, that they need to thank God that they still have their hand. Or they still have their feet. Instead of cursing, they give God all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. So we need to understand these things. But as we understand them, we need to understand that the Word of God is what saves us. You know, a lot of people don't realize that. Well, how can you be saved by the Word? By being obedient to it. By doing the things that God wants you to do. See, we need to hear what the Word has to say, don't we? In John chapter 5, verse 24. John chapter 5, verse 24. A lot of times there are those individuals who say, I don't want to hear anything you have to say. Well, don't listen to me. Listen to what thus said the Lord. In John chapter 5, verse 24. John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Believing in the word of God. This is what Jesus says. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. Who sent him? God sent it. See, this is the Word of God. And when we realize those things, we understand what we need to do. When we really and truly hear them, we believe them. Believe that the Word is speaking of Christ. See, there is not another prophet that's going to come and save us. Jesus Christ is the one that God sent down. As the Muslim would say, you know, he was just another prophet. No, he was not just another prophet. He is our Savior. In Acts chapter 8, verse 34, as Philip went to the chariot of the eunuch, he was sitting there, the eunuch was reading out of the prophet Isaiah. And, you know, it just really, this passage just really does something for me. Because he was not ashamed of his condition. He was not ashamed to admit that he did not believe nor understand who or what the prophet was talking about. But look what Philip did for him here in Acts chapter 8, verse 34. It said, "Then the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized?" You know, as Jesus is being preached, people believe in the word in which is being preached. But look what else we have to realize according to Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and 5. We repent because the word has pointed out our sins. You know, a lot of people say, well, you need to mind your own business. Well, if you're committing sin, guess what? That is my business. Because I'm in the business of telling you that sin is wrong. And you know what? And I made mention of this the other day, and I may have to make a retraction when I said that business wasn't so good because we had people leaving and we didn't have anybody coming. But I think we're up now, Brother Brian. So guess what? Business is good. For those that are coming back, and for those that are still committing sin, we still have work to do. We need to point sin out. Luke 13, 3 and 5. What do you say, Brother Brian?
I tell you, nay. Except you repent, you shall all likewise
perish. Does it say that in both of those verses?
Yes, sir.
You mean to tell me that Jesus Christ saw fit to repeat himself? Not in a day's time, but right away. So I will never get tired of telling you the truth concerning God's word and the truth concerning your salvation. So an individual needs to hear God's word. He needs to believe God's word. He needs to repent of his sins. And not only does he need to repent of his sins, but he needs to confess, because the word has shown you who Jesus is. And you know, when we find these things out, why do we just say, oh, everything will be all right? No. If you do not follow all the steps, everything will not be all right. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. See, it's very simple of the things that we need to do. But Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven." Whosoever. See, it's very simple. Jesus says, you know, if you do what you're supposed to do, I am going to do what I'm supposed to do. You always want somebody to speak on your behalf. Oh, can I use you as a character witness? Use Jesus as a character witness. You confess him before men, and he will confess you before his Father, which is in heaven. You don't have to worry about anything else. Only time you'll go to trial or go to court is when someone has falsely accused you of something. If you're truly trusting in Jesus Christ and doing his will. Some of y'all probably say, oh, Brother Spencer, you lying. No, I'm not lying. I'm telling you the truth. If a man take you to court and you have been walking the way you're supposed to walk, you don't have anything to worry about. Well, you may know somebody that went to jail and wasn't supposed to go to jail. No. If he went to jail, he was supposed to go to jail. Whether he did something wrong or not, the thing is, once he get there, is he going to do what God would have him to do? Is he going to learn his lesson not to get caught up in the wrong place with the wrong people? Or is he going to learn his lesson by saying, you know, I'm innocent. Oh, yes, I'm innocent. But while I'm here, I'm going to teach God's word to some people. You know what they call those individuals, right? Calling them jailhouse preachers. But you know, if a man is truly innocent, if he go in there and preach God's word the way he's supposed to preach God's word, somebody's going to hear the truth. And somebody's going to obey the truth. So his stay in jail will not be in vain. Sorry he had to go, but his stay will not be in vain. May cause somebody to get baptized. And baptism takes place when one believes the word. In Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. This is Bible. Well, why do you keep telling people, every time I hear you talk about salvation, you mention something about baptism, because you can't have one without the other. No way a man can be saved if he do not have his sins washed away in the water of great baptism. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. What then, brother? I heard the word. I believed the word. I repented. I confessed and I was baptized. What am I supposed to do now? You keep telling me I need to come to worship service. You keep telling me I need to do this. I need to do that. Why do I need to do these things? Because it all entails and all covers living a faithful life unto God. And how are we going to do that? We're going to do that by allowing the Word to guide us. We're not waiting on the Holy Spirit to come down and guide us into all truth. That was for the apostles. We have to let the Word guide us. So therefore, we need to study the Word, don't we? In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Paul says here, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." You know, if Paul wasn't on his way on the road to Damascus, would he have ever been saved? I bet you, Brother Theodos, can't nobody answer that question. Because we know where he was on the road to, right? And we know what happened, right? He was on his road, on his way to Damascus, and there he saw that bright light. And he did not change courses. He went on to Damascus, and he was what? He was saved. I really don't want to think about anything else, what Paul would have been if he hadn't been on that road. But I want you to think about your road just for a moment. The road that you were on. How you obtained salvation. I remember the words of my grandmother like they were yesterday. But it's been, oh, 26 years ago. Well, not quite 26. About, let's just say 24 to be safe. You know, without going over. You let that woman drag you away from the Baptist church. She said, "No, ma'am." It wasn't that woman. It was the Word. And when we can apply the Word to our lives, it can drag us away from whatever we're in that God is not pleased with. You may be here today and you have been living a life of sin and you want to come away from that life. Don't hesitate. Make the right choices in life. Do what God is pleased with. Turn your life over to Him. If you're not a Christian, that opportunity is given to you to come. To make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is truly the Son of God. Have your sins washed away. Maybe you're here and you're straight away. Come. Repent of your sins. Confess your faults. Live faithful after that. And both. Continue to ask for prayers for strength, because we all need them. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing.